When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Alpine launches the A390 Trimotor EV. Kia's EV9 pricing is inflation busting. And a 6-megawatt mobile EV charger. Plus, stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you just how much EVs reduce the dangerous brake dust compared to combustion cars. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And welcome to a new Patreon producer, Scott. Scott Keck has joined the gang. Thank you, Scott. He signed up just before I went on holiday last week. Patreon supporters get the episodes ad-free. You can be like Scott by clicking on a link in the show notes. Go to patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. We'll start with news of the Alpine A390 Trimotor EV crossover. But whatever you do, don't call this an SUV. Alpine has launched its second electric vehicle, the A390, which has a Trimotor system that makes up to 470 horsepower. Not the most we've seen from Trimotor systems, but clearly, I'll get onto the price in a minute, this will be one of the more affordable. The A390 is nearly 4 inches shorter, that's about 10 centimetres shorter than a Porsche Macan EV, and it's around an inch or 2.5 centimetres taller than a BMW i5, that's a sedan. So, shorter than a Macan, a bit taller than a sedan, like an i5. And it blurs the lines between vehicle types, and Alpine, in their materials, were quite careful not to call this an SUV. This is a sporty fastback, or a sportback. Alpine positions the A390 as a sport fastback. They don't call it a traditional crossover. They don't call it an SUV. Oh, it's not, by the way, when you look at it. It's lower than a VW ID3, I think, and it's barely taller than a Golf, prioritising sporty proportions and handling over SUV height. I've seen the Kia EV6 called an SUV, and the Kia EV6 is not an SUV in a million years, and yet this has, I think, similar proportions to a Kia EV6, but this is certainly not EV6 money. This is only a lot more money than that. So let's get into the tech specs of the Alpine A390. Oh, by the way, for those at the back not paying attention, Alpine is the sporty bit of Renault. You can't blame them for having it, because lots of car companies have sub-brands or sister brands or spin-offs, and yeah, everyone has one. Alpine is the racy, sporty bit of Renault. Ultimately, though, it is a Renault. And so we'll see if people really will pay the premium that they're asking for this. Tech specs, first of all. One motor at the front and two in the back. That allows for torque vectoring, which is a system when you have those two motors on the rear axle, one controlling each wheel, that sends extra torque to, say, the outside wheel when turning, and it can turn the wheel slightly faster, and it helps the car to feel lighter. It helps to turn the vehicle. It's 4,600 pounds or 2,100 kilograms. All EVs can be pretty heavy and chunky. All three motors are permanent magnet synchronous motors manufactured by Renault, or rather its EV division Ampere, at their Clayon plant in France. The rear motors have been specially tuned so that most of the time the A390 actually feels like you're driving a rear-driven car. The front motor would mainly engage when maximum traction is needed. That's good for efficiency as well. If you can disengage motors, like hard acceleration or slippery conditions, you then get all three motors. There are two trim levels available. The base GT model has 400 horsepower, does 0 to 62 miles an hour or 100 kph in 4.8 seconds. So even the base model is rapid. The top GTS version increases power to 470 horsepower, reaching the time to reach 62 to 3.9 seconds. So you're in rapid territory here. The GTS version also has the little red OV button on the steering wheel. It's more like a paddle, I think. I think it's a push paddle with your thumb, I think, on the right-hand side of the steering wheel. And it's the overtake button, basically. It provides 10 seconds of power, followed by a 30-second cooldown. So, battery pack in the A390. It is an 89 kilowatt-hour battery pack. They say range up to 345 miles or 555 kilometers under WLTP. That's competitive. That's about under 300 miles or 470 kilometers on EPA. DC fast charging is very good without being class leading. It's 190 kilowatts. It's all about the curve, really, though. 25 minutes to get to 80%. They give 15 to 80, frustratingly, which all car makers do 10 to 80. When it's not a 10 to 80, they're just fudging it, aren't they, to give a better number. Bidirectional charging and heat pump are standard. 22 kilowatt AC on board. It's French, and there's a lot of AC 22 kilowatt posts in the ground in France. It's an option, but it's there. Estimated pricing between 65 and 75,000 euros. That's 60 to 70,000 pounds. I wouldn't be surprised if it starts slightly above that at the beginning. This is the only tri-motor torque vectoring EV that is well under 100,000 pounds. So what you get for your money is very, very good. Now, there are dual motor EVs that offer even more than its 500 horsepower with just two motors. And so it's not really about a straight shootout for, you know, maximum kilowatts of power. It's obviously what you're doing with those smaller motors. So what are people going to be cross-shopping this big, fast luxury vehicle with? The Lotus Eletre. This looks like a small Lotus Eletre, by the way, which is an SUV. It's a big vehicle. This looks like it's a Lotus Eletre that's been put on a hot wash, really. Some say that if you squint, you can see bits of Nissan Ariya about it, and I'll get onto that in a moment. Audi Q6 e-tron, yeah. Model Y performance from Tesla, yeah. Arniq 5N, which is a proper track car, by the way, a proper sporty re-engineered vehicle, high-performance variants of the BMW iX, the Polestar 3, all playing in this territory. It stands out for its tri-motor powertrain, Alpine's focus on handling, and a price point that makes it one of the most accessible luxury EVs with this performance. Inside, there is a 12.3-inch digital instrument cluster, a big display for the driver, and a 12-inch portrait infotainment screen. It runs Android Automotive, OS, physical controls for the essentials. I like that. The interior feels a little bit Renault, and that's okay. I like the interior of the Renaults, but you might want something a little more premium for your 70,000. The car's going to be made in France at Alpine's historic Dieppe facility. Orders for European customers start in Q4. Deliveries start early 2026. Alpine considered selling the A390 in the US, but high tariffs on imported cars have made them rethink the plan. They now expect to delay the US launch until maybe 2030. So who will buy this? Well, I think if you're going out to either buy a Porsche Macan or this, you would certainly be very tempted by the Porsche badge. Alpines have always been something that you either want or you don't. So if you've been buying combustion Alpines, it's because you know about them, and not many people do know about Alpine, and that you like it, and you like what you see, and you're going to buy it anyway. And you'll put up with the bits that aren't fantastic about it. I think what's great about this is the amount of technology that Renault have put into this for your £70,000, which is a lot of money. And inside, perhaps for me, it feels a little bit Renault-y, which ultimately Renault, like Peugeot and Citroën, the French brands, really do sell on value, on you get loads for your money, but they are naturally at lower price points. This is more than just a, you know, because this does sit on the same platform as Renault EVs, as the Nissan Ariya, for instance. It's obviously a highly reworked and tuned version. I've seen comments online from people saying, you know, this is just an expensive, sporty Nissan Ariya, putting lipstick on a pig. That's absolutely not what this is, and very unfair, and isn't everybody a keyboard warrior when they sit anonymously and type comments onto YouTube videos and stuff. The electrifying one with their presenter, Nicola, is really good. She's a really fun presenter, by the way. And that's a kind of a more of a lighthearted look. It's less about numbers and stats and things like that. So not a kind of a fusty old channel, that one. I like the electrifying videos, like all the videos that have been out today on the A390. I'd love to know from you who you think would buy this, though. Because if I look at people who are going out and thinking of buying £70,000 worth of, don't call this an SUV, because it's really not. It's a very low car. You have to kind of like the Alpine brand and be into what they're doing. There's loads of styling touches on the outside. And the closest I can probably get to that is, you know, my own personal buying decisions. I went out to buy a Tesla Model 3 and I came home with a Polestar 2 because there was something about the Polestar 2's design, the old-fashionedness of it, the buttons, the physical gear stick, the kind of cabin around me. I thought I wanted a Tesla Model 3, and this was a year ago. We went out to go get the long-range one, refresh one, and came home with a Polestar, just because the design spoke to me. Now, lots of people would look at a Polestar and go, why would you buy one of those? And I say to people, it's a Polestar, and they go, huh? And I go, it's a Volvo. They go, oh. And I think if people look at an Alpine when you buy one, and they go, huh? And you go, it's a Renault, and they go, oh. You might feel a little bit shortchanged because you've just spent 70 grand on a Renault. You get a lot of tech for your money. The styling on the outside touches is just really nice. It's got those, I was going to call them air intakes, but they're not. You know the Jaguar I-Pace bonnet where you can put your hand through the little thing and direct the air up. It's not directing the air into the car. It doesn't need combustion cooling or just to, you know, suck air in to ignite it. It's got those. It's loads of lovely touches on the outside that make this a really attractive vehicle to look at, but ultimately quite a small vehicle as well. A driver's car. But then when you sit up front, it all looks a little bit Renault Megane-y inside when you look at the screens and how, which a lot of people like their Renaults. And so I think this is going to be, if you like it, you like it. And if you're not liking it, then Alpine probably have got a big sell on their hands because it's up against Macans and Polestar 3s and Audi Q6 e-trons and some very established brands there as well. Love the fact that they're doing this. Can't wait to see the test drives because ultimately no one's driven one yet. And so it could just be that they've been tuning this. The engineers at Alpine, with all of their racing heritage, have just been really focusing on making this a proper pucker chassis, and this could handle incredibly well. Really looking forward to this. I love a new car launch, and this was a big car launch as well. So sorry spending so much time on it today, but I was really excited about this. You can kind of tell, can't you? We'll take a break, and when we come back, lots to talk about on the podcast today. A bit more Renault news, this time Renault 4 and VW's ID Evo. Ah, that's surprised you, hasn't it? One of those to discuss soon. Stick around, back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Having had a slurp of tea and I think about it, I probably should have made a standalone 10-15 minuter on the Alpine A390 and just popped it into your podcast feed. I was doing that a couple of months ago and it seemed to go down really well, and I've kind of forgotten that I was doing that. So for a new car launch or a big story or, you know, I was often just dropping a little bonus pod into your feed. Let me know whether you like that or not. Best place to contact me, probably the Patreon page, even if you're not signed up. You haven't got to sign up to Patreon, by the way, and be a paid-up member. You can be a free member, and then you still get access to the shows to comment on them, and then you can listen to everything. I think you're going to be like a $5 or $10 a month. I think the way Patreon works is you get a preview if you're not paid up, but you can be a free member and then you can get hold of me that way, or you can email hello@evnewsdaily.com. but I will warn you, the spam filters these days, I've just been finding more and more listener emails. It's junk, isn't it? The folder's called junk in Outlook. I'm getting really frustrated the rules that I've got set, and you know, don't do this to these emails that come from this address, still get files, and then after 30 days get deleted, and I've missed stuff. So maybe on Patreon, or you can try the email, and I'd love to hear from you. If you like these little bonus shows that I sometimes drop in, ultimately no extra work, because I've done all of the work on the Alpine A390. I could have just done a separate bonus podcast that you could have just not listened to if you weren't bothered. Okay, let's get back to the news today. In the United States, the 2026 model year Kia EV9 is going to keep its current pricing, starting price, I should say, and even reduce the cost for some trims. It starts next year at $56,395, including 1500 destination. There are five trims: light standard range, light long range, wind, land, and GT line, and the new Nightfall edition. The GT line now starts at $73,395, which is $2,000 less than the current version. The light long range is down by $2,000 to $59,395, and the land trim is $1,000 less at $70,396. Kia improved driving range for several trims. The GT line is up from 270 to 280 miles. The wind and the land go up a smidge from 280 to 283, and even the light long range gains a solitary 1 mile range bump. Or rage bump, as I've typed in my notes here. sorry, there's no rage bump in the Kia EV9. It's a very lovely car. It's a happy thing. To 305 miles from 304. Next, if I say driverless EV, you might immediately think of the Tesla Robotaxi. But not so fast, because the Demag AI is a startup by a Tesla former employee, and has launched a remote-controlled electric vehicle called the Megawatt Mobile Charger. This is for things like mining and industrial sites. No steering wheel, and you can even operate it remotely. It has a 300 kilowatt-hour battery that delivers 6 megawatts of power, if you need it, to multiple electric vehicles at once. It's a modular DC to DC converter, ensuring at least a megawatt of output through the MCS connector, Megawatt Charging System. Each wheel has its own EV motor for all-wheel drive, for getting around, I don't know, mines and tricky surfaces and things like that. Heavy equipment maker Komatsu is teaming up with Demag for global deployment at job sites. Back to Renault for a quick mention. Renault UK announcing prices of the all-new all-electric 4. So the 4 is more than the 5. So it's a lower number, but it's a bigger vehicle and costs more. The Renault 4 will launch in July. The base model Evolution starts at £26,995. That's pounds. It's about $36,000 equivalent. Two higher trims are available. The Techno is £28,995. The Iconic is £30,995. As with all Renaults, it'll be about the monthly deals and offers that are in place. Most people are paying for a Renault on a monthly. Nearly everyone pays monthly for their vehicle. All models have the 150 horsepower motor and the 52 kilowatt hour battery. That allows 62 miles an hour, 100 kph done in 8.2 seconds, WLTP range of 245, which is good for a small car. The Renault 4 is on the AMPR small platform, and you may be noticing that I haven't mentioned the smaller battery that the Renault 5 comes with. That's a 40 kilowatt hour battery. I think that'll be an option in time to bring down the cost of the 4 as well. Buyers can choose a sliding canvas roof, making the Renault 4 an electric alternative to convertibles. To meet the demand, Renault is bringing back its R-Pass scheme. So you spend £150 and it guarantees you a place in line. R-Pass reservations start July 1st. General orders start July 15th. Now, on May 26, earlier this week, a pre-production version of Volkswagen's new electric SUV, the ID. EVO, was shown off at the Volkswagen Anhui plant. It was covered in some red cloth, though, to hide design changes from the April Shanghai Auto Show concept. The vehicle is the fruit of the collaboration between Xiaopeng and VW. Now, remember a long time ago, VW and XPeng did a deal. This is what's going to be coming out of it. The ID Evo is designed for young Chinese buyers and will use XPeng or Xiaopeng's electrical and electronic system. It has a really modern look, 800 volts, high voltage system, an AI voice assistant baked in, Volkswagen's level 2 driver assistance system, which they're badging as level 2++. I mean, they're taking the mic, aren't they? It's either level 2 or level 3. There is no recognised level 2 plus. There's certainly no recognised level 2 plus plus. But that's what they call it to try and imply it's a really, really, really good level 2 system. But you can't take your hands off the wheel or the eyes off the road. That is what level 3 is. It have a range of 435 miles on the generous Chinese system. Volkswagen hopes that demand in China will support production of the model. However, it faces challenges due to its predecessor, the ID Unix, which has been selling poorly and leading to losses. VW Group have also finalised the what they call the architecture freeze for their new platform called SSP, Scalable Systems Platform. So the architecture freeze is now in place. That means that all the future EVs that you and I get to buy, there is a step closer. The next step is to finalise contracts with suppliers. The component plant will make key drive unit plants and send them to vehicle assembly plants. Other parts, like the drive units, will be sourced from outside suppliers by next year. SSP will be flexible across different vehicle types on a shared architecture. The first model based on SSP will be available in 2026. The timeline moved... it was initially set for 2026, but the timeline moved to sometime towards the end of the decade. VW's brand head, Thomas Schaefer, saying that the ninth-gen Golf will be an electric vehicle using SSP, and that, I think, was talked about 2028 at the absolute earliest, if everyone pulls their finger out. By using the same parts for different body designs and reducing complexity, SSP aims to lower costs, which ultimately down by 20% compared to MEB and PPE, which mean, hopefully, the vehicles that you and I buy would be more affordable. Now, let's talk about the iconic Mini John Cooper Works, JCW, badge has always stood for pure driving excitement, and now it's entering the electric era. The Mini JCW Electric is a new hot hatch that combines the brand's legendary go-kart feel with electric power under the bonnet, so to speak. The Mini JCW Electric has 255 horsepower motor, front wheels, obviously, launching it to 62 in 5.9 seconds. That's actually 0.2 seconds quicker than its most powerful petrol-powered sibling, despite all of the electric heft, the extra 320 kilograms of weight, but don't tell that to the petrol fanboys. The energy comes from a 50 kilowatt-hour battery, WLTP's at 230 miles, official energy efficiency, 4.1 miles per kilowatt-hour. It'll only recharge at 95 kilowatts peak, though. To ensure the driving experience lives up to the John Cooper Works name, Mini equipping the model with bespoke suspension, the electric JCW features more negative camber at the front and a fixed damping system replacing the adaptive suspension found in the petrol one. The result is a sharp handling and quick responsive vehicle. It's playful auto car, which I found this story in a great magazine. They praise the electric JCW Mini as rambunctious as a JCW should be, applauding its fun character, lively design, and smooth throttle response. Now, let's talk about BMW. Big party happening at BMW this week. BMW Group just made its 3 millionth electrified vehicle. The milestone is huge, and they did it because they, you know, whenever there's a milestone, I've joked about this before, whenever there's a milestone, all car makers say, well, the 3 millionth car off the line was, as if they've been keeping count to the exact car. Maybe they have. Who am I to say? Maybe they do sit there with a big ticker over the end of the production line. 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't lose count. It's a bloke at the end with a clipboard. No one say any numbers. What was that? 294, what? Anyway, the 3 millionth car. I'm getting giddy. The 3 millionth car, according to them. What? And they always pick something that says something about what the company is. It's always either a halo car or something. The one they've picked to call the 3 millionth car was the BMW 330e Touring, coming in Portimao blue, and it's headed to the UK. Now, one in four BMW vehicles sold last year was either fully electric or plug-in hybrid. Since launching its first battery electric vehicle, the BMW i3, in 2013, the company has combined the i3 production with that of its first plug-in hybrid, the BMW i8, which is, I think, still an iconic vehicle. It still looks amazing when I see an i8 on the road. And now all BMW Group plants worldwide make vehicles with both pure electric and plug-in hybrid powertrains. Electrified models are now 25% of BMW Group's total output, with about three quarters being fully electric of that share. So far, BMW, Mini and Rolls-Royce brands have delivered more than 1.5 million all-electric vehicles. Let's talk a little bit about going electric on the water. A Swedish team has made the first electric boat crossing of the Mediterranean Sea. They did it in a Candela C8 Polestar Edition hydrofoil. Hydrofoil is where the boat lifts its hull out of the water on computer-controlled foils, leaving only its wing-shaped struts submerged, cutting energy use by over 80%. Candela CEO Gustav Hasselskog, Hasselskog piloted the C8 over the 24 nautical mile or 45 kilometer Strait of Gibraltar from Soto Grande in Spain to North Africa. The trip took just over an hour, matching the very fast ferries that can do the route at 24 knots or about 28 miles an hour or 45 kph. Of course, it's all zero emissions, so they recharged it in North Africa, turned around, and the C8 made the return trip the same day. The Strait's strong currents and choppy seas are challenging, but the foils, all the computer controlling, adjusts the wing angle 100 times a second to handle the waves. It's a really smooth ride, and the CEO was saying that he compared that to the boat that they had to take the photos and the video, which was bouncing around quite a bit. They did the demonstration run to support future services using Candela's new P12. That's an electric ferry, 30-passenger hydrofoil vessel, and that operates in Stockholm already. The EU is next, and the EU Council has approved the change to the CO2 standards for new cars and light commercial vehicles. This change finalises the easing of CO2 fleet targets for this year. So all the car makers got to 2025 and went, well, we can't possibly meet these new emissions rules. No one told us. And the politicians, well, they caved, didn't they? The European Parliament supported it nearly 3 weeks ago. The Council today adopted the targeted amendment to the regulations on new passenger cars. And so with this new rule, car makers' compliance with the emissions targets for this year are going to be averaged over 3 years. The targets themselves actually stay the same. The manufacturer, a manufacturer that is below the CO2 limits 1 year can actually exceed them in other years and vice versa. We had a similar thing in the UK with our ZEV mandate, or it's not really called the ZEV mandate, but we do. Last year when it came in, and you can sort of defer some stuff into the future and put the problems off for the next CEO, because CEOs don't last forever, do they? So they all argue for this, and then let the next girl or guy deal with it. And finally, a new study by EIT Urban Mobility and Transport for London shows how electric vehicles not only reduce exhaust pollution, there's no particulate matter, there's no PM2.5 and PM10 coming out the back of the vehicle. These hybrid vehicles that are so-called CO2, low emissions, CO2 friendly. Well, they might be when they're standing still, but you try moving them. If you try moving your Toyota hybrid very far, and it'll start to burn stuff. And so I wouldn't really want to be locked inside a garage, really, with one of those engines running. However, pure electric cars, as you know, can run on clean, green electric power. So that argument is done and dusted. Now, Toyota will argue that one into until they are blue in the face and say that our hybrids are very, very, very friendly to the planet. Like I say, they can lock the CEO in a garage while they're running and see how he is the next morning. I don't think he'll be feeling very well. But what about the other stuff that comes off our cars? Because no one really thinks about brake dust. After all, we go and have our brake pads, or you might call them something different. We call them brake pads and brake discs here, but you might call them rotors. You might go have your brakes renewed every so often. But where does... It's a bit like where tyres go. You know, we know how tyres wear down. We know how brakes wear down. But you don't see... It's not like the end of a Formula One race, which... And I've been very lucky to walk the track after Formula One races. And I've scooped up a few handfuls of rubber just for the shelf over there. I've got my lanyards hanging up over there, my shelf. I got chunks of Pirelli just because it's a memory, isn't it? And, you know, it's a thing. And so it's not like you see chunks of tyre falling off, hopefully. That's the plan anyway. So where does it go? Well, it is just microscopic. And non-exhaust pollution is a really big deal. They looked at conditions in London, Milan, and Barcelona and found the battery electric vehicles cut brake dust emissions by at least 83%. And you won't be surprised to hear that, and I'm not particularly surprised because I don't really use the brake pedal in my EV. With one pedal driving, it's because of regen. EVs can slow down without using the friction brakes, and good EVs... Some people actually don't like one pedal driving. My wife hates one pedal driving. She turns it completely off and modulates the speed with the brake pedal, because that's how she drives electric diesels. And so, automatic diesels. And I'm like, that's fine. Everyone's different. I personally love one pedal driving. I love the idea that I'm not using the friction brakes. They did find that hybrid vehicles reduce the brake emissions by 10%, but plug-in hybrids can be up to 60%, all electric vehicles over 83%, finding that increasing numbers of electric vehicles are greatly lowering non-exhaust pollutants, very important thing, despite the potential increase in other things like tyre wear. Some people point to certain studies, say, well, EVs are heavier, therefore they must wear their tyres more. Yeah, have you seen all of the Range Rovers and SUVs on the school run, dropping off little Johnny because he can't possibly get wet on his bicycle? Yeah, those combustion cars are massively heavy as well. But anyway, it also points out that moving people from private cars to public transport reduces emissions by over five times more, because if they're riding electric public transport, then that does the job five times as good. And as I want to make some sort of bonus podcast, maybe just for the patrons, that a lot of people won't understand. This year for me has been the year of using an e-bike, and my mind is blown. Like, my car keys have been left at home so much. Now, I know it's a bigger sell, so I'm not going to start recommending people just ride their e-bike, because it's an easier sell to say, hey, get rid of your combustion car and drive an electric car. People go, oh, it's a big jump. I'm not sure I can make it. You can do it. Whereas, say, oh, get rid of your car and get a bicycle, I'm going to be laughed out of the room. However, I have been riding an e-bike a lot this year, and it's really good. And especially getting the kids out as well. I got a little trailer for my 3-year-old, and I push my 7-year-old up the hills, put my hand out and on his back and shove him up the hills, all with battery power on me. He's not allowed a battery, of course. He can use his legs. And so, different ways of electrified travelling, electric buses, electric trains, all good stuff, if you ask me. Hey, I better stop now. It's been half an hour. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one map and one app. Have a good one. See you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.